ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 chant the first five verses of chapter 15. Urdhvam Shri Bhagavan Vacha Shri Bhagavan Vacha Urdhvam Mulam Adashakam Ashvattam Prapuravyayam Ashvattam Prapuravyayam Chandam Siyasya Parnani Chandam Siyasya Parnani Yastam Veda Savedavit Yastam Veda Savedavit Shri Bhagavan Vacha Urdhva Mulam Adashakam Ashvattam Prapuravyayam Chandam Siyasya Parnani Yastam Veda Savedavit Adashchotvam Prasutasasya Shakaha Adashchotvam Prasutasasya Shakaha गुणप्रवृद्धा विषयप्रवालाः अदश्च मूलाननुसन्ततानि कर्मानुबन्धीनि मनुष्यलोके अदश्चोर्ध्वं प्रसृता तस्य शाखाः गुणप्रवृद्धा विषयप्रवालाः अदश्च मूलाननुसन्ततानि कर्मानुबन्धीनि मनुष्यलोके न रूपमस्येह ततोपलभ्यते नान्तो न चाधेर्न च संप्रतिष्ठा अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलम् असङ्गशस्त्रेण दृढेन चित्वा न रूपमस्येह ततोपलभ्यते नान्तो न चादेर्न च संप्रतिष्ठा अश्वत्थमेनं सुविरूढमूलम् असङ्गशस्त्रेण दृढेन चित्वा ततः परं तत्परिमार्जितव्यम् यस्मिन् गतान निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्तिप्रसृता पुराणी ततः परं तत्परिमार्जितव्यम् यस्मिन् गतान निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्तिप्रसृता पुराणी निर्माणमोहाजितसङ्गदोषाः अध्यात्मनित्याविनिवृत्तकामाः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्ता सुखदुःखसङ्गैः गच्छन्त्यमूढापदमव्ययं तत् निर्माणमोहाजितसङ्गदोषाः अध्यात्मनित्याविनिवृत्तकामाः द्वन्द्वैर्विमुक्तासुखदुःखसङ्गैः गच्छन्त्यमूढापदमव्ययं तत्
Gurji requested last class that we can have it before or after. Actually, he said it 1 year ago also.
Yeah.
But किसी ने सुना ही नहीं. Remember you said there should be none of this child worthy and all because it lasts on for too long and it's very distracting. People coming late, then they get served. Remember you said please don't have all this child. Nobody listened.
So now
this is chapter of the
Narayas.
Yeah.
So this 15th chapter is entitled as Purushottama Yoga. Uttama means supreme. Beyond. The Purusha which is beyond this limited existence. And when it is said it is beyond, it is not just beyond, it is something that is imminent and transcendent. So Uttama Purusha, the Yoga of Supreme Being, the Yoga of Supreme Brahman. It is talking about Nirguna Brahman, the absolute reality.
Man beyond this?
Worldly,
no, did you say
man? I didn't say man, I said, I don't know what I said.
You said, beyond this,
limited
existence,
yeah.
Absolute reality and the Supreme Being is the Brahman.
Yeah. So, in this portion of the Gita, the emphasis is on gaining the knowledge. In fact, 13th chapter, 14th chapter, 15th chapter, he is talking about the knowledge of Supreme Brahman. The real self in every being is supreme. But we today believe ourselves to be this limited individual. So gaining this knowledge alone, I emphasize again, gaining this knowledge alone according to Vedanta will solve the problem of samsara. So every scripture or anything that we want to listen or read, the mind wants to know what is the benefit we get out of it. Isn't it? By doing the study, what is it that I will get? What would be the benefit? Finally, what is the result? Phal kya? Fruit. So Vedanta says the real fruit is destruction of your attachment which is due to ignorance to this world. You are born and you go through series of struggle because having born, your identification is still with this superficial layer, not with the Supreme Being. Gaining the knowledge of the Supreme Being, understanding that your real self is Supreme, you thereafter, without remaining ignorant, you will not be attached to this world. As a result, the sorrows will be gone. The vasana will be completely eradicated. Therefore, he emphasizes on knowledge in this portion. And he also emphasizes on gaining certain qualifications that will help us in gaining this knowledge. That attitudinal change, that bhava is extremely important to be able to receive the knowledge. If the information will have to bring about a change within you, you need to be a seeker.
Open.
Firstly, you must understand that you are now bound and want to liberate. Otherwise, why would you want to liberate? This term moksha. A lot of people say that I don't want any moksha, I am fine, I am comfortable. So if a person is comfortable, why would he want to extricate himself? So to understand that I am going through this and I must extricate, and the way to extricate is through gaining knowledge. Further, I need to put in effort. So the attitudinal change, you must become a shishya, a student. And certain qualifications, that is also emphasized here in this portion. So this is a very small chapter but a very important chapter, Purushottama Yoga. In fact, this chapter is chanted before meals. The entire chapter, traditionally, they chant before meals. And it's a small chapter, an important chapter. And meal is one daily contact which is essential for us to survive. And Therefore they chant this before, so that they remind that this tradition of daily tradition, ritual of eating food is to get back to Brahman. And it is the Brahman within that is digesting the food, remaining in the form of Vaishvanara. Verse number 14 talks about it in this chapter. And then it is being distributed throughout the body. So ultimately, all the contact in this world is to get back to Brahman. That is the idea. Now, with this, let us get on to chapter 15. In the first few verses, he is talking about samsara. Now, if you see here, in Swamiji's research, he has given out few topics. It is not in the original. Bhagavad Gita didn't have originally the topics that Swamiji has mentioned in the book. But after he did some research, to capture the thought flow, he brought out these topics in every chapter. So he has given four topics in this chapter. The first one, Brahman is macrocosm, the entire universe. That is from verses 1 to 6. And Brahman is microcosm, that is 7 to 11, the individual. Brahman is basically both the macrocosm and the microcosm. These both put together are called kshara. Kshara means perishable. And then
kshara is
an akshara. Yeah, kshara, akshara. So the first 11 verses are talking about kshara. Brahman is going to be described here in three aspects: kshara, akshara, and uttamapurusha. Kshara means perishable. Akshara means imperishable. Uttamapurusha is beyond perishable and imperishable. So in verses 12 to 15, he is talking about Brahman as an essence in both the microcosm and the macrocosm. It is remaining as an imperishable in the perishable aspect. Then the mind can limit Brahman to the world, because whatever our understanding of Brahman would be through the world, but it is like trying to see the world through the window. Can you really see the entire world through the window? The frames of the window will limit your vision, isn't it? You cannot see the entire world. And if you come a little closer, you have a frame here, your eyes have a frame. So you cannot see the entire world. So when Brahman is spoken with reference to kshara and akshara, then we are understanding Brahman through the world which is perishable. Right. Therefore, he says Brahman is not kshara or akshara. It is even beyond. It is uttama purusha. Brahman is uttama purusha, supreme being beyond kshara and akshara, from verses 16 to 20. Slowly, slowly he proceeds from the known to the unknown to give us the knowledge of the unknown. So, this is the brief summary of the chapter. Now let's get on to verse number 1. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Urva Mulamadha Shakam, Urva Mulamadha Shakam, Ashwatam Prahuravyayam, Ashwatam Prahuravyayam, Chandam Siyasya Parnani, Chandam Siyasya Parnani, Yastam Veda Sa Veda Vite, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Urva Mulamadha Shakam, Ashwatam Prahuravyayam, Chandam Siyasya Parnani, Yastam Veda Sa Veda Vite. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Blessed Lord said. Now, some of the chapters begin with Arjuna's question, some of the chapters Shri Krishna himself starts, even though there is no question from Arjuna, because he wants to elaborate a little more. So the Blessed Lord spoke here and said, they speak of the imperishable Ashwatta giant fig tree with root above, Urdhva Mulam. Mulam means root. Urdhva Moolam. Urdhva Moolam means the root above. Here should not be taken spatially above. Above here means beyond. Beyond human conception. Beyond human comprehension. It is not available for the senses or the mind or the intellect. It is above. And also it is supreme. So in that sense, the above word is used, urdhvam, means supreme. It is the highest. The world is inferior. Brahman is superior. And urdhvam moolam means Brahman, the moolam, the root, is supreme. Also it means that root or that Brahman from which this world has come about is beyond human comprehension. We say in Vedanta, you cannot understand Brahman, you can only become Brahman. When you are in the dream state, you are going through various experiences as a dreamer. Being the dreamer, you cannot understand the waker. You cannot understand the waker. But you can become the waker. When you wake up from the dream, you become the waker. Similarly, he says, Brahman is beyond comprehension. It is urdhvam. It is up. And adashaka. Adashaka means the branches are below. He's talking about a giant fig tree or ashwata tree. And this ashwata tree is compared to samsara. This samsara is cycle. The birth and death cycle. This huge existence between birth and death is called as samsara. This samsara is compared to ashwata tree because the tree is also huge.
Ashwata is a banyan tree.
It's not a banyan tree, it is a peepal tree. Yeah. I think they both botanically connected. Yeah. Similar but not same. Peepal tree is different from banyan tree. But they also have peepal tree, and banyan tree also has all the other roots and all that stuff. It's a huge big tree, ashwata. And like that, the samsara is also huge. It never ends. No. It continues, continues, continues. When is it going to end? Eternally. You are seeing this going on. So therefore, you compare the ashwata tree to samsara. The tree is visible, but the root is not visible. Isn't it? And where did I come from? Where am I going? What is happening? All we see is we are running around. But where did we come from? The root is not visible. It's not known. Similarly, when you see this huge tree, you see the manifested tree, but are you seeing the root? You are not seeing. So he says, like that, the root of this samsara is what? Brahman. Which is invisible. Beyond your comprehension. So, urdhvam moolam, adashaka. The tree below. Basically, it's about inverted tree. If you look at it, it's like an inverted tree. Inverted tree means what? From Brahman, the world has come. It's a falling down. When your energies flow downward, you create samsara. How are we born again and again? We are born again and again because of our vasanas. How does the vasana come about? I am seeing something. When I am seeing something, according to my guna, my thoughts run, and I indiscriminately send the thoughts towards the object, then I create a vasana or few vasanas, then those vasanas make me come again and again. So this is what he is explaining in these two verses, first and second. So he is saying, Urdhva Moolam Adashakam. They speak of the imperishable Ashwatha Jayanti tree with root above, branches below, the tree below, whose leaves are hymns of Vedas, Chandamsi Yasya Paramahara. The beginning portion of the Veda are full of karma kala, the karmas, the rituals, and this ritual creates pap and punya, which binds you, which strengthens, which is the root, which is giving the strength to this samsara. Right? The leaves of the tree is involved in the chlorophyll, which is essential for the tree to survive. Similarly, for the samsara to survive, what is essential? Karma kanda, the Veda Purva Bhag. Veda Purva Bhag means the ritual, the ritualistic portions. For fulfillment of a certain desire, you do this ritual, then you get that object of that desire. So they are involved in doing so many rituals and they create more and more papa and punya that sustains the samsaric tree. Therefore it is, whose leaves are hymns of Vedas. He who knows that gains wisdom of Vedas. If you can see this, you can capture this, how this whole thing has come about, then you gain the wisdom of Vedas, the Shastra, the scripture. This is the translation of this verse. Now let's get into a little deeper. So what is he saying here? There is Brahman. Not understanding Brahman as Brahman has made you misapprehend Brahman as this world. And once you misapprehend the world, your thoughts run towards the world. And when your thoughts run towards the world, you create vasanas. And when you create vasanas, you are stuck. So, Urdhva Moolam Adashakam. The shakam is visible. I have thought that is visible. But I am Brahman, the truth, that is not visible. That is the problem. What we can see, hear, smell, taste, touch is all part of the samsara. Brahman is that which is remaining at the root of all this. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And that cannot be seen.
It is invisible.
It is invisible to your body, to your mind, to your senses, to your intellect.
So is he a sakshi?
Yes. Brahman is sakshi to all this. Now that Brahman is infinite. Without Brahman, the world cannot come. So who is Satyam? Brahman is Satyam, world is Asatyam. Brahman exists without world. But can world exist without Brahman?
No.
Therefore the root is Brahman. And the root word is used here in singular. In the next verse, again the word root will be used in plural. There, the root means the vasanas. Okay. So the real source of this universe is what? Brahman. But it is only when you do not understand Brahman, the misapprehension of the world comes. If you see the rope as rope, would the snake come about then? When you don't see the rope as a rope, then the snake comes about. So he says, Urdhva Moolam Adashakam. the branches, and some of the branches are up, some of the branches are in the middle, some of the branches are going downwards. Various lokas, branches means various lokas, 14 lokas are there, according to the Shastra. Means what? Various dimensions of the mind. So all these lokas, which belong to the dimensions of the mind, they are below. Brahma is beyond all this. So in other words, you should not aspire to go to various lokas. You should aspire to go beyond the lokas and reach Brahma. Only then there is pure samsara. You may go to various lokas, but if you want to go to Brahman, you have to come back to Manushya Loka, according to the Shastras. Only as a human being can you get back to Brahman. In all other lokas, you enjoy the benefits, papa, puni. So it is there. Leaves are the karma kanda, days saying the tree. Basically your actions, which are propelled by various desires. Days are saying your samsara, nobody else. Now, even though this tree is sustained by your desires for so long, can you cut the tree right now or not? You can. How? By cutting your desires. See, you mentally create a bridge. That's why there are so many rituals to create a bondage with certain things. And afterwards, take the example of a couple. They come from two different families and then they get married. Then slowly, slowly, mentally they bind with each other. Right? And then, God forbid that there is some misunderstanding because of which they will have to separate and they legally separate. Even though they go through the process and legally separate, they go through torture because the mental bondage is still not broken.
So long the
this whole
man created, right?
I'm giving an example.
Giving us these norms to follow.
Huh? Which norms are you talking
about? Society, marriage.
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm not comparing that. I only gave an example to tell you that even though
attachment
at the physical level, at the legal level, the marriage is over. But at the mental level, it's still not gone. So what is creating and keeping this samsara alive? Your attachment, your desire. So by going on doing actions propelled by desires, the samsara is constantly getting nutrition. Believe me. So Bhagavad Gita, especially in this portion, he is not trying to tell us to stop doing karma kanda or continue. All he wants to tell us is, you have put up this samsara. Nobody else is responsible for it. You are responsible for it. Now you can cut it. Though it is huge, you can cut it right now. The beginning and the end is not known. The beginning of the tree, the end of the tree is not known. It's so big. Similarly, the beginning and end is not known. Because if somebody asks, how did I come here? Because of your previous karma. Now how did I come there? Because of that karma. You go backwards. Then they ask, question, when did the first karma start? Why did it start? Then Vedanta says, nothing started. Now see, you got a portrait here. Now, we always bring in this example to explain all this. The example is of your own dream experience. In the dream, if I ask you, how old are you? You will say 40, 50, 60, whatever your age, according to you, in the dream. And if I ask you, how long is the dream world has been existing in which you are living for 60 years? What will be your answer?
For eternity.
For eternity. Correct? That's what you will say. But actually, what is the age of the dream?
As long as you want to live.
3 seconds.
As long as you don't open your eyes.
Maybe 3 seconds or 40 seconds or 1 minute or 3 minutes. Right? But what you are accounting for is eternity. Correct? In the dream, if I tell you you are only 3 minutes old, you'll say get lost.
So in the dream you can think like
that. You're not saying don't think it. Just take the example. In the dream, you are saying the world is going on. Never ending. Mm-hmm. Right. But actually it is only 3 minutes long. Similarly, this samsara, for us it seems it's been going on for eternity. So Vedanta says, unless and until you wake up from that dream, you will understand that it was not going on forever, is it? Just like you dozed off and you created the dream. Similarly, you just created this samsara by your own thoughts. There is no actual samsara. Are you getting this? The world that seems so solid, is actually not really that solid. What is giving it that solidarity? Your thoughts. When you watch a movie, the film roll projected to the projector on the screen, and the film roll is rotated at I think 24 frames per second, and when it is rotated at the speed 24 frames per second, you see that it's solid, it's real, the fight, the dance, the dialogues, everything, isn't it? And that stirs up your emotion. You cry, you laugh. You get excited, all that is because it's running at 24 frames per second speed. If the same film roll is made to rotate at a lesser speed, 8, then what happens? The hero is trying to hit the villain and the hand is going like this very slowly. The villain is escaping. Would you enjoy that? What is making that movie solid, which made you cry, laugh, jump, all that? The speed. Similarly, the speed at which your thoughts are running today. The speed at which your thoughts are running today is giving the solidarity to this world. If you can slowly reduce the speed of the thought, then you will start seeing the reality on which this world is projected. What is giving solidarity is your desires, your thoughts. So therefore you got to reduce the intensity of the thoughts flowing and the quantum of thoughts, and then come to few thoughts, then one thought, then when you look between thoughts, there is reality. Look between two thoughts. So this samsara has leaves, the tree has leaves, which is compared to Vedas, which I said, karma kanda, action. Action means what? Propelled by desire. And that action propelled by desire, which is nothing but thoughts running. And that thoughts running sustains this samsara. If I understand this, he says, he who knows that, he gains wisdom of the Vedas. He becomes Vedavit. Vedavit means what the Vedas are actually trying to tell us is the world is nothing but flow of thoughts. World is nothing but flow of thoughts. For example, when you are in deep sleep, as far as you are concerned, are you experiencing world? When you are in deep sleep, dreamless sleep, are you experiencing world?
No.
Why? Because there are no thoughts. Correct? The moment thoughts come, then what happens? The world starts. So, he who knows that gains the wisdom of Vedas. So, the real essence of Vedas is what? Brahma Jnana, the knowledge of Brahma. And when you understand this, then you will start working on the thoughts. If you really want to get rid of this samsara, there's no point fixing a supari to get rid of people who are troubling you. It is to get rid of your own thoughts, which is given in the Veda Antabha. In the Veda Antabha, they give the knowledge. So really speaking, the Veda Purvabha, which is called as Vedas here, when he said Vedas are the leaves, he's talking about the Veda Purvabha. The Veda Purvabha is not to be omitted. It's not that you should not do rituals. It's not that you should not perform rituals. But what you need to understand is, by performing rituals and fulfilling desires, you should not try to get caught in them. You should do it consciously. Because you cannot get rid of your thoughts by suppressing them. Certain basic desires which are there in you, which are too powerful, if you try to get rid of them, it will not allow you. Like even before we start the class, certain things you take care, you inform your servants, you inform your children, everything. Whatever has to be done, you delegate, do everything. Then you come into the class where you can sit and study. Similarly, as of today, you have desires. You have thought flow. What is a desire? Desire is nothing but a thought flow. And therefore, you have to fulfill certain desires. But fulfilling certain desires not to increase the thoughts further. So use the Veda Purvabha to fulfill the desire and come to Vedanta eventually, which will give you the knowledge with which your thoughts running to the world, the intensity will reduce, then the quantum will reduce.
You can control your thoughts.
Then slowly, slowly the thought will completely dissolve. And when thoughts dissolve, what will be there finally? Only Brahman. The created imaginary world doesn't exist. The thought and the world, they come together. Can you experience any object without a thought supporting it? The thought of the object supporting it? You cannot. You cannot experience any object without the thought of the object supporting it. Now I am talking to you. You will only register what I am talking, provided your thoughts are here. Your thoughts are gone somewhere, you will not register what I am talking. So therefore the end is, he who knows that, he who sees this whole samsaric tree, how the whole thing has come about, how I have created this samsara. First I want to say, I created it by my own thoughts, by setting it over a period of time. Now it is extremely difficult for me to even question that. So he says, once you understand this, all this huge big tree, I created by dozing off. By dozing off I created the dream world. And there is huge, this dream world is eternal. Like that, little bit I fell from that state of Brahman. And I have created a huge big something. When you listen to these things, be careful. As long as you are in the samsara, in that level, it's called Vyavaharika Satya. Vyavaharika Satya means practical level. It is true from the practical level. Don't go about saying puja is imagination, mukta is imagination. It cannot be the puja and mukta imagination, but Lakshmi Narayan is real. And Lakshmi Narayan, his thoughts are there, puja and mukta are also real. Real being. So therefore, at that level, whatever practically I need to do, I have to do. What Vedas are trying to explain to us is, this very thoughts because of which this world has come about. When you question that, this world dissolves. Then you understand that this is created by my marriage. Nobody else has created it. I have pulled up it. Now, that which I created, now I am struggling to get out of it. There is a concept that was behind that movie, that Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie, Frankenstein. He creates and then he has to save himself from that Frankenstein. What is the name of the movie? Frankenstein. Something like that. He creates it and he has to escape from it. And he has to escape from it. Exactly like our thoughts. Would you have a thought? And you allow the thought to flow indiscriminately. Then the thought will become a desire. Now once it becomes a desire, now you have to have it.
Fulfill it.
Fulfill it. See, I'll give you a simple example. Don't understand it beyond what I'm trying to say this example form. A lady who attends our classes, she, she had fondness towards dogs. She also wanted dogs for security purpose and all that. So she got this ferocious anxiety that... They are ferocious. It's handling them is not easy, you know. They're small, it's okay. They grow. It's very difficult to handle them. So she employed two guys, one in the morning, one in the night. But are in spite of, you know, being told them that you cannot take leave just like that suddenly, they will still do it. Now, she ended up completely taking care of it. Become very difficult for her to move. Only give me an example to tell you. And exactly like that, your thoughts flow, desires come, you get the object of your desire, then you get stuck. In many cases.
Yes.
Who created it? You. So he says, he who knows that, he who sees how from Brahman this world has come, and what is sustaining this world? Your karma, your action. Action means, it is understood here in the context, action propelled by desire. If I understand that, then what will I do? Will I do any action propelled by my desire? If I understand this, will I do any actions propelled by my desire anymore? When the desire comes, what will I do? I'll stop and question. Is that the right thing to do? And the moment I stop, will my intensity of the thought reduce or not? Will my quantum of thought reduce or not? So like that, he who understands, by understanding this, you now take control of your life. By taking control of your life, slowly, slowly, you will become a Veda with. Veda with means knower of Veda. Knower of Veda means one who sees Brahman as Brahman. He doesn't see anything other than Brahman. The essence is God's essence. So he who knows that gains wisdom of Vedas. Next. अदश्चोत्वं प्रसृता तस्य शाखाः चोत्वं प्रसृता तस्य शाखाः पुनः प्रवृद्धा विषयप्रवालाः पुनः प्रवृद्धा विषयप्रवालाः अदश्च मूलाननुसन्ततानि अदश्च मूलाननुसन्ततानि कर्मानुबन्धीनि मनुष्यलोके कर्मानुबन्धीनि मनुष्यलोके अदश्चोत्वं प्रसृता तस्य शाखाः गुणप्रवृद्धा विषयप्रवालाः अदश्च मूलानि सन्ततानि कर्मानुबन्धीनि मनुष्यलोके. In this verse he says, its branches spread below and above, nourished by the gunas qualities. Adaschotvam prasada asya shakha guna pravrata vishaya pravala. With buds at the sense objects and roots stretch below. Now the word root is used in plural. Roots. The roots stretch below as actions binding men in the world. So what he is saying is, as per the gunas of the thoughts. Now we have seen in the previous chapter there are three gunas. Sattva, rajas, tamas. So there is sattvic thought, rajasic thought and tamasic thought. The branches go upward, middle, stay middle or go downwards according to the gunas. So these branches are spread below and above. His karmas are towards reaching Brahman, are staying in the middle, collecting material things, are going down, indulging, creating animalistic tendencies. So they are nourished by the guna, the quality of the thoughts. Now, but what is inviting you to do that action, like a shoot in the tree, is called the bud. He's comparing that bud to sense object. Now, how are you falling for this? This is a sense object. You see the sense object. When you see the sense object, the thought comes. Our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. The sight our foolish heart inflames. Right? The sight of a foolish heart. The moment I see, desire. So therefore, sense object he compares to the shoot, the buds. They are the ones which are causing the desire to erupt. That is why we say, keep an environment which is conducive for your inner growth. If you keep an environment which is conducive for your desires to be ignited, and side by side you are studying Bhagavad Gita, you will not see much improvement. That is precisely why we say, if you really want to gain the essence of Gita in your life as a transformation, you need to keep an extremely sattvic environment. Otherwise it's difficult. That's why every Raman that is visiting ashram, staying there, being with those people, these are all essential. But you are indulging and giving so many sense objects for your mind, for your senses, obviously your desires will be increased. So the sense objects are compared to the shoot, the bud, and the gunas nourish the actions, the branches. They are going in all directions, upward, staying middle, in the down. And roots stretch below. Roots here means the vasanas, which I explained to you. Adascha mulani, mulani, where the previous was mulam, here it is mulani. Mulam means mula, mulani means plural. So the roots stretch below. The primary root is going down. The secondary roots are going in all directions. So he's talking about the secondary roots here. Primary root is Brahman, remember. Previous verse talked about primary root. In this verse, he's talking about secondary root. Secondary roots, which are vasanas. And when your thoughts run towards the sense object, what is created? Vasanas are created. And once the vasanas are created, what do the vasanas do? They bind you here. You will be born again and again. This is going to bind you here. What binds you is your vasanas. What sets you free is your knowledge. Knowledge of Brahma. So therefore, he says, the primary root is Brahman. From that, this entire universe has come. And what is sustaining this universe is your karmas, actions propelled by desires. And according to the gunas, they go in all directions. Upward, middle or downwards. And when the thoughts start running towards the sense object, you create vasanas. And once the vasanas are created,
you get bound.
You're bound. That's it. So who is binding you? Your own. Who is binding you? Your own vasanas.
Your own self.
Your own vasanas. So that's why I said, if you understand this, now Vedanta is not going to spoon feed you. Once you understand, what you have to do? You have to now be careful with reference to creation
of thoughts
and sustenance and making your thoughts run without your intellect.
Basically, you have to learn to control your thoughts.
You will not allow your thoughts to run without your intellect's guidance. Vedanta doesn't say you become a sannyasi and you don't become a sannyasi. Sannyasi lifestyle is not what Vedanta recommends. What Vedanta tells you is, if you indiscriminately allow the thoughts to flow, you will be creating vasanas which will bind you. Remember my famous example. As I'm talking and I'm playing with my mala, I can make knots. Yes or no? I'm talking to you, I'm not even looking at the mala, but I'm playing with my mala. So I can make knots. Correct? Now if I want to remove the knots, can I remove the knots as I am circumcised? I need to know.
You have to look at it and
then I have to focus on it. The moment I focus, vasanas disappear. The moment I start looking at my thoughts, I ask, do I need this? Why am I under this leader? Oh, my neighbor has got it. So what is in front? You have a peer pressure and everybody is worried, I should also need it. Question it. Look down on the thought. It's like sun looking down on the snow. When the sun looks down on the snow, what will happen to the snow? That's all you see. See, I am trying to see how to interpret it for you to look at it from the practical level. Primary root is equal to Brahman. Right? The entire tree is samsara. Secondary roots are vasanas. Gunas are the nourishments. The sense object is the bird. These are the things that is equated. In this, what is he trying to say? This is just trying to say, what is sustaining your thought? Your thoughts that are running in this community. The moment I see the senses, I see that fellow running, this fellow running, everybody running, so I am also running. Nobody asks any question. It's just mechanical. It's so mechanical, everything. That's the answer. And that's the, that is what is creating all this chaos, right? You should stop and question the chaos is gone. Your life's chaos is gone. You can only stop and question. See, the Guru, the scripture, everything can only tell you stop and question. They cannot make you stop and question. So you have to stop and question. In the moment you stop and question, your life will become better. Seeing that, somebody else will learn. A job is not to give lecture, but to stop and question. When you stop and question, you will recast your life. Isn't it? You will be casting your life according to your obligations and not according to the whims and fancies of your desire or the so-called whims and fancies of the society and all that, like Amiji was trying to say. Then you will not, you are blaming society, like all that is fine. Finally, in you, you have a thought to please them or something. You question? Who's binding you? Nobody else other than you. So that is what it is. Its branches spread below and above, nourished by the gunas, qualities, with bud as the sense objects, and roots stretch below as actions binding men in the world. So the desires, when you chase, you create vasanas. And the vasanas gives you birth. Then again run. As you are running, you are creating more and more vasanas. They give you birth. Again you run. Create vasana. Again you run. This constant running. But as you are running, you are collecting more and more vasanas. That's all he's saying. So now what do you have to do? Next verse. Narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate. Narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate. nanto na chade na cha sampratishta nanto na chade na cha sampratishta ashvattamenam suvirudamulam ashvattamenam suvirudamulam asanga shatre na dride na chitva asanga shatre na dride na chitva na rupamatye na tatopalabhyate nanto na chade na cha sampratishta ashvattamenam suvirudamulam asanga shatre na dride na chitva. Its form is not perceived here as such. A huge samsara. How I got caught? It's very difficult to perceive the whole thing. Neither its end nor origin nor clear foundation. This is what I said earlier. When did it begin? How did it start? Where did it start? How did I fall into this situation? You avoid it. Now what you have to do, instead of worrying about when did the dream begin, when is it going to end, simply wake up. He says, having cut as under this giant fig tree, asanga shatrena dridena chitva, having cut as under this firmly rooted ashwatha giant fig tree with the strong acts of non-attachment. So the asanga and shatra, please understand. Asanga means what? Asanga means?
Friend.
Yes. Attachment. Asanga means detachment. And shastra. The sharp axe. The sword. With that you have to cut this. In other words, what he is saying is?
Cut the attachment.
I told you already, you must have a relatively disciplined lifestyle. You cannot completely disconnect your contacts. That is not an advice. Right? You have to relatively though have a disciplined contacts. Along with that, you study the scriptures. And the study of the scriptures will sharpen the intellect. Because the scriptures, what do? They help you develop your intellect to focus. And they broaden your perspective. Ekagrata and Vishalata. Ekagrata means focusing. Vishalata means broadening. So by the study of the scripture, your intellect develops the ability to focus and it is also have a broadened perspective. To be able to see the whole thing from a larger perspective, not from a very small perspective. So the scriptures also instill values by which you will see from the broader perspective. You know, rather than local being global. So this is what the scriptures do. So once, but by the time you develop all that, if you do not have a controlled, disciplined environment, you would have got involved and drained the energy. So therefore both has to go hand in hand. Asanga shatrena dridena chitva. So that is why we say daily study of the scriptures and discipline, both are extremely important. Detachment here means that. Relatively be detached from the world. If you keep an environment which is conducive and constantly indulge, firstly, you will not be studying. Even if you study, it will not help you to question. The master is so powerful, even though you study and you understand, desire will say, "Arey, kal se shuru karo." Aaj kyu control ke baare mein soch rahe hai? Kal se shuru karo. Abhi abhi Diwali hua. You understand? So that's why he says about asanga satrena tadena chita. So now we have to focus on asanga. Now asanga will come when?
You will
give interest. Yeah, sanga with the right things, asanga with the wrong things will come. You can only detach from the lower to the extent you get attached to the higher. Please understand. Satsanga. In the Bhajavadam we say satsanga tve nissanga. So the nissanga will come by satsanga. So you must keep good company. That is why they emphasize on sattvic food, for example. You understand? Keep a sattvic food. Rather rajasic and tamasic. Similarly, your friends, the books you read, all that will help you basically keep a discipline. Even in the yoga, the 8 steps are there. Patanjali's Ashtanga Yoga. The first step is what? What are the 8 steps? Yama, Niyama. Yama means control. Niyama means what you are controlling your senses from what it should not and doing what your obligatory duties are. Yama, Niyama, discipline. Then your body will be trained to sit down, asana. But the mind is still going around. So then control the pranas, asana, pranayama. Then pratyas, then the mind will be drawn inward. Then you will be able to do dharana, concentration, on the single thought. Then slowly you can get into meditation, dhyana. Then samadhi. So yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. These are 8 steps. Even in that, what is the first thing he's talking about? Discipline. So it's impossible to attain that Brahman. It is impossible to control the flow of thoughts without a disciplined environment. But only disciplined environment is not going to suffice. Along with it, you have to do the study, reflection of the scriptures, shastra, shastram. And that, what will it do? These two together will do what? These two together will sharpen the intellect. When the intellect is sharpened, then what do you do? You stare at the thought and question. Why? Look at him, he's got that. You all study together only in the same college. See where he's gone, where are you? You know, all sorts of things that people say. You question. If he is gone there, should I also necessarily go there? You will ask the right question, no? Otherwise what will you do? Everybody is gone there. What am I doing? I should also go. Are you with me? So that intellect, which will not go by what the world thinks is right, maybe that is the right thing for them. We are nobody to question them. Or if I am not running, why am I not running? Is it maybe it could be because of my laziness? Tamas. Whatever it is, for that I need the intellect to question. That's what he says. So, discipline and study. When they both come together, then you will cut the samsara. That is why we keep on emphasizing on writing the summary, daily studying, keeping an environment which is satsang at all levels, food, with whom you talk, what kind of discussions that go around, what kind of books you read. Why is that being emphasized? This is the reason which we talked so far. So asanga shatrena tridena chitva. And be firmly determined in this. It's not easy to be consistent. You can do all this for a while, but to be consistently doing, very difficult. So, the determination should be there, because how many days of efforts goes in training the body to be fit? It takes few days to put on all those necessary things. So in the day, be firm in that, be clear. That firmness is very important. Otherwise, again. So enough for today. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।